Anyway, I got a phone call from mother saying, "Do you know so-and-so?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And right away, my guard is up, like, uh-oh, what did my son do? Is he in trouble? That's what I'm thinking, because she sounds a little distraught. And she said he died last night. And I'm just shocked, like, whoa. I mean, I know the parents really well. They're super parents, and that just came through today. Just kind of stunned. But like, what do you do? My wife's at work. Do I call her? No, I don't call her because there's nothing she can do. She's got to go through work. So the first thing that struck me was, you know, I digested it. I understood the facts. I tried to understand why. I wanted to know. Thought, okay, my son's going to know about this. How am I going to tell him? Went to pick up my wife at work and told her, you know, quite without any preparation, just, hey, so-and-so died Sunday night. And she burst into tears. She just started crying, like, shock. And I haven't seen her cry for quite a while. And she just, it was just this outburst. And I thought, whoa, I didn't prepare. I didn't handle that well. But more so, part of me was asking, well, why aren't you crying, Ken? Like, why aren't you feeling what your wife's feeling? And I felt really bad. And I felt bad for a few days. Like, are you really that cold and heartless? These other women you've been talking to, other people are upset and you're not showing it. I felt bad. I felt like, I'm not a good guy. It's not my son, so I'm not crying. Is that it? Is you know, what's the story here? Why don't I care? I thought I cared. I think I care. Intellectually, I care. But I wasn't showing it. I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't crying. Well, I cried today at the funeral. I don't mind saying that. And it was... it was almost a relief, and part of me was thinking, okay, hey, men and women are different. I've always said that, and maybe that's just, the women just react a little quicker. Maybe. I know it might vary case by case. It hadn't struck home until today when I saw these hundreds of people, and when the father got up and spoke, and I imagined myself in his shoes if it had been my son, and the father started talking about the character of his son. And the father's a shy man, and he said, you know, people ask me, are you going to be able to get up here and talk in front of everybody? And he said, I know there's a place where I'm going to get strength. And then he turned and looked at the casket, and he said, the strength is coming from my son right now. He's giving it to me. And maybe you're not connected. Maybe that sounds a little hokey. It wasn't. Like, it was real. Like, he knew he had to do this for his son. And his son was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful kid. And man, oh man, that just got to me. Like, it was real. And there were several times, a couple of cousins got up and they couldn't get through it without crying. And you cried along with them. Everybody was crying. Oh. There's more to it. I don't know quite where else to go or where to go from here, how it affected my son, how I felt about my son. Some of the grief I felt as a father, the crazy feelings of, man, that man up there today is such a good father. And I had a strange, you know, your mind goes off and on one tangent, I'm thinking, now I understand why some conservative people I know, don't like Jack Kerouac, don't like Timothy Leary. And these are people I hold up, as you know, as my heroes. And here's Kerouac. He could party, he could drink, he could get stoned. He could do his thing. But he never, ever, ever owned up to the daughter that he had, Jan, who eventually died. Didn't take responsibility there. And I'm only saying that because when I saw this man get up and talk about his son, and saw all he had done for his son, and all the pictures of all the holidays they'd taken together, and the times he spent with his son, I felt, there's a man. There's a real man bringing up children. And it was almost like a 1950s kind of family. It was good. They had relatives and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and get-togethers at Christmas. And there was always family. And he was always doing the right thing. And he had a big trailer. And he took them camping. He took my boys with them. He was a good man who had this terrible grief brought down on him. He has two sons. The elder one's fine. The younger one just died like that. What he said on one of the best days of his life, just after playing paintball with all his buddies. But, I mean, he was a good man and a good father, and Timothy Leary, my hero, well, his first wife committed suicide. You can say not his fault, but a little bit of neglect there. He had about four or five wives. His daughter committed suicide. His son was just went crazy on drugs, spent a lot of time in jail. He wasn't a good man. He wasn't a good father. And I don't know why I'm saying this. It's just that today I saw something else. I struggle within me sometimes. Who am I? Who's the Scarborough dude? Who's Ken? I mean, I was a parent at that school where these kids went to. I was the first school council chair. I'm proud to be a citizen and fit in. And yet I have this other side of me, these heroes, these bad guys that I cheer them on. Mark Emery, you know, the big dope dealer. And so maybe politically and on many levels, I would be very much against most of the other fathers in this community. I don't fit in with them. And yet today there was a fitting, there was a belonging, that commonality of being a parent, being a father, loving your children, wanting the best for them. And a lot of parents coming together and sharing this loss. Oh, I don't know. I guess I should pause. I guess I should collect my thoughts. I'll just maybe I can just run out of steam here. My son was up there in a suit. He looked good in running shoes because we didn't have black shoes. And three of his friends were up. Each one played a trombone, one a horn, one a trumpet, I guess. And they played a song together. They read the notes. But they wanted my son in there because they were all tight buddies together. The four of them and the boy in the casket, the boy who died. And so my son stood up there in his suit with his friends, just standing because he couldn't play an instrument. And it wasn't that I felt embarrassed, but I felt bad as a father. Like, he came home one day from elementary school with a tuba. The guy has asthma. He doesn't have the wind to play a bloody tuba. He never learned to play. He just gave up. If I had been a better parent, I would have been in that school. I would have been pounding my fist. What the fuck is this? The guy can't play a tuba? What else you got? Why didn't I take a more active role? Why did I just let it slide? And so all that feeling of just been a shitty father myself. Thinking back to my own father, he wasn't around enough for me. And then you realize, well, you know, yeah, it's stupid. You don't beat up on yourself. It doesn't help, but there's my son. He's still a good son. And the other parents said that was so nice of him, so good of him to get up there anyway, without an instrument, just to stand there. And I can feel good about that. And I told my son as I was driving him to the children who were going together that I was ashamed. I felt bad that I wasn't a better father, that I hadn't done more, that I hadn't helped him with music, that I hadn't encouraged him, that I hadn't pushed him, because my kids will just, hey, if I don't have to do it, they won't do it. And maybe I should have tried a little harder, maybe a little more assistant, maybe not backed off so easily when they turned their back, maybe been a little stricter, maybe all those things.